Some of this stuff resonates with me. Dad was a strong disciplinarian. And I'm sure, looking back on it, I needed it. I don't know if he was harder on me than the rest of them or not. It sure seemed to be. Ben seems to think that it wasn't. He was harder on him than what he was with me, but I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to determine those things, but, you know, if I had done something wrong through the day and it was bigger than Mom could deal with or wanted to deal with, it was a bad thing to anticipate Dad's arrival. A lot of times I hoped that my mom was truly frail in that she would forget. Didn't happen very often, I don't think. But Dad laid a foundation of discipline and Scripture. We knew that he'd do anything it would take to please the Lord. And I hope that I was able to lay that foundation for my kids as well. It was interesting to me that I received from my daughters-in-law that the text that I did, now as they are married to my sons, and you know, kind of a little bit cautious about those kinds of things, you know, because they can see through their husbands the flaws of that father-in-law. But I'm blessed. Thank God for the fathers of my daughters-in-law that taught them and trained them so well also. One of the things about my dad, though, that he regretted, and I tried my best to go a different way. And there's probably some things about your dad that are that way, too. You don't want to share them publicly, obviously. But something about your dad that, you know, you wanted to do different. You wanted to do better. And I had determined early on, before I ever went into the full-time ministry, that my kids, if I was going to answer the call of God to be in full-time ministry, that my kids were going to be active right along with me. And you can see that with Jonathan, wanting his kids to sing with him and to do those kinds of things with him. He wants that to happen as well. And it's so important. It's so important. And in Evansville, they were right there with me doing so much of the stuff. And was right there with me when found a young woman, a young, probably upper teens girl along the road, just ripped up, bruised up, crying. We stopped, got her into the vehicle, took her home, and gave her opportunity to take a bath and to dress those wounds, gave her some clothes, I believe, to wear, and let her sleep it off. My kids remember that. And Dad taught us to serve others, and that some of you have said that as well. Dad taught us to serve others, and I want that to be a part of my life and emulate that and to pass that on to my kids. And thank the Lord for my father-in-law who pushed me into things that my dad did not do. I'm glad that God provided that other side. My father-in-law that put me into the pulpit for the first time and gave me a chance at ministry and being his youth pastor for a year. Just so many things. And when I needed counsel, he would give it to me. Wasn't always what I wanted to hear, but he would give it to me. And want to carry on those things. I want to carry on those things to others and to help others. And I know that you do too. I was reading an email of someone that I get emails from on a regular basis, and in that was an article from another individual that said that there's a lot of people that don't want to go to church on Father's Day Sunday because somehow the sermon tells the dads how awful they are, how bad they're doing at the job. Kimberly said this week that she was so thankful for the way that the Wise Ball kids respect her and treat her so well. And my thought is, the Wise Ball kids treat everyone with respect. I feel that way. And I understand what she's saying. You appreciate it when they treat you good and they smile and they wave and they, you know, greet you and stuff. But our kids stand out. I believe that they're respectful. They care about other people. That is quite a statement. I don't know what I could say this morning that could be looked at Wise Ball Community Church where dads, you're doing it bad. I don't know what I would say that you're doing a bad job. Because I can go around this sanctuary this morning and point out dads and what you have done. Oh, I realize that every one of us we're clay vessels. We're a clay pot. And we have our limitations. We have our weaknesses. We're clay. But wow, what we see being done. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I'm reminded very quickly here, back in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 13, there's a story that probably most of us, if not all of us, are fairly familiar with. It's the time when Abraham and Lot needed to go their separate ways. Abraham said to Lot, he said, you look it over and you tell me which way you want to go. There's the valley that's beautiful, well-watered, easy living. There's the mountain that's not very lush at all. There's not much water. There's a whole lot of work to make a living. You know that Lot chose the well-watered plains. But in those well-watered plains, we find in the story that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And in that, it's hard for us to understand. And if it wasn't for the passage that we find in 2 Peter chapter 2 about Lot, we would have a whole lot to look at Lot and point fingers and condemn and criticize. But somehow the New Testament writer brings us to something that we can't see. And that is that Lot somehow, in the midst of all that took place, the New Testament commentary is that Lot was righteous in his heart. But he moved to that well-watered valley. He apparently got complacent with the wickedness of the day. Whether he preached against it or not, or spoke against it or not, we really don't know all of those little details, but we do know that his soul, according to the New Testament writer, was vexed. His righteous soul was troubled. Maybe you could say that he was desensitized daily by their lewdness, to where it was there, he saw it, he recognized it, he knew it was a problem, he knew it was wrong, he knew it was a bad situation, he knew that he did not want to be involved with it. But he failed to teach his kids. He failed to teach his kids. I'm here to tell you this morning, and if there's nothing else I can get across to you, dads, we are living in the well-watered plains. We're living in the well-watered plains. We have sin all around us. You go back, I was reading some of the notes that I had taken and wrote down 25, 27 years ago in my early part of the ministry of pastoring full time. And those notes that I was reading from back in that time, it astounded me of what I was saying then. And now we see that all of that stuff, it's not just hidden underneath anymore, it's out. It's bold. It's being pushed and pushed and pushed on us. We are living in the well-watered plains. We have so much prosperity around us. We receive so much prosperity. We enjoy a good life, so to speak. You say, well, what's your point? My point is that we teach our children. That we keep it in our mind to continue to teach our children. What are we supposed to teach our children? Well, dads, what we need to teach our boys is that they should be, and they can be, they need to be gentlemen. As I said, our kids are respectful. I just knew, I was in my room, and I was really thought that my wife had put all of our boys upstairs above us. And I knew that's where she put them. You know, it helps us keep a little bit of ear tabs on them. And so I was sitting in the room, was resting, and all of a sudden the upstairs exploded, and I thought they were going to come through the floor. And I just knew, without even thinking, that Keaton and Mason were into a wrestling match. I knew it. Why? Because... wasn't unfairly accusing. That's just part of life. And so I yelled up at them, and they didn't hear me. And so I marched my way up the steps, and I grabbed that doorknob of that room, and it was locked. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is wrong. And I said, get this door unlocked and get it unlocked now. I was fixing to call out Mason and Keaton, stop the wrestling and get this door. And it was silent in there. I was ready to call them by name. Finally, they opened up that door, and there before me stood three boys that I had never seen before. It wasn't our boys. Whew. Yeah, I had to step back a little bit. While our boys may be known to do some wrestling and some stomping around, our boys are gentlemen, and we need to continue to teach our boys to be gentlemen. You know, there's a different definition for gentlemen than what it used to be. It's kind of evolved along the way. It used to be that gentlemen was an aristocratic club. Nowadays, you find some people, as someone took a little bit of a poll and they found out that a gentleman in some people's mind was a vulgar type of an individual visiting gentlemen's clubs. Maybe some of you would know what I mean by that. But the true definition of a gentleman is somebody that is respectful of others. Dads, we need to continue to do our best to teach our boys to be gentlemen. We need to do our best to teach our children, our girls, that a gentleman will treat them a certain way. And they will want to have a gentleman in their lives rather than some uncouth guy. Someone who is spiritual, someone who is looking and focused on the religious side of things, the spiritual side of things, the scriptural side of things. We need to teach our children, boys and girls, integrity. Because it's not around in the outside world. We're not finding it among a lot of people around us. And if I might even be so bold and so frank this morning, we don't even find it a lot of times in religious circles. Integrity. What is integrity? Well, we can break it down into different things. We can talk about moral integrity. I don't think I have to go into too much definition of that. But moral integrity. Teaching them about moral integrity. Teaching them about business integrity. Integrity in business. Integrity in the neighborhood. Verbal integrity. Religious integrity. You know, we can talk about the violence that is being expressed all around us, and quite often perhaps all of us maybe here this morning would say that a good portion of the violence comes from music and video games that are filled with all kinds of terrible, deplorable violence. And it's portrayed in music, if you call that music. It's all around us, and we would point our fingers at that. But if we're not taking care of the small things, if we're not taking care of those things and putting up clear boundaries and teaching kids the good things of Scripture, the good things of serving God, way before they can develop a desire for the world's alternatives, then maybe we need to look at ourselves. No, I don't think any of you are doing a bad job. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm giving a warning to what we are being pressed into and squeezed into in an effort to go along with the wave, just like Lot. Because we live in the day of Lot. But God has given us everything that we need to teach our kids integrity, to walk integrity before them. And if by chance, some way that there is a break or a stumbling within, that we make sure that we tell our children that that's not the way that we go back, and we go back to them and apologize and correct it and live it out the way we should. Dads, I was going to look up all those statistics about dads and how the home is broken down because dads are non-existent and dads don't care and dads and all that stuff. And then I decided, you know, I'm not even going to look at those statistics. I'm just going to say it like it is for us, that we not be complacent, that we don't become desensitized, that we don't lose sight of the real values of life, even though we're being pressed in that well-watered plain of Jordan, but that we continue to focus on the things that are good, the things that are right. Teach our boys to be gentlemen, kind and respectful, to teach our girls what it is to see a kind and respectful man, so that they will look for that as well. Boy, time gets away, doesn't it? Look at that. I better quit. Well, I have quit. I've put it all away. That way I won't be looking at it anymore. We have some gifts up here for the dads, and if there's somebody that's not here and you're going to take one to them, please let James or myself know so that we don't double up somewhere. I know that some of you take one to somebody that's not here or whatever, but the ones that have a red kerchief around are spicy in flavor. The ones that have the blue one are just a plain. I don't know what that means. I haven't sampled any of them. If you'd like me to, I have a knife with me. We can cut it into it and see. Don't know what I've done with this knife beforehand, but we live in the country. Who cares, huh? So you get one. Make sure all the dads get one. And we'll share that along. So I don't know if you want to send a kid up to get yours, or do you come get it yourself? But make sure that you get one before you go, dads. Let's stand together. Hope all of our dads have a wonderful Father's Day. And all of you that have your dad living, make sure that he is aware that you appreciate your dad. And thank God for all of the good dads that are here today. I don't know, Stanley, would you be able to dismiss us in prayer? This isn't right to ask this from the platform, but what was your birthday? How old is his? 80? Is that 87? 87 years old. That makes him the patriarch, I believe, here today. Is that right? Nobody's older than 87? Would you be able to dismiss us in prayer?